Last week, we started to talk about the need to redefine our theology, the need to redefine our beliefs. We talked about how many of us grew up in places that we have certain set of beliefs, and sometimes we had no idea why. It's just that we were brought up in certain ways, and we just believe it. I mean, a lot of times people in our society believe things without even researching or finding out if those things are actually true. More than ever in our nation, we need to know what we believe in order for us to stand for what we truly believe. If we don't know what we believe, how are we going to stand? And how are we going to know what's right from wrong? We also talked about last week the importance for Christian people to go back to the basic. The importance for Christian people to go back to the Word of God, because that's what determines what we are to believe and what we're not to believe. It's a foundation. See, last week we talked about how even Jesus was calling out his disciples, challenging them, and saying that you might be going to church, but you might not even make it to heaven. I mean, there were some people there in the story that we read last week that they thought they made it. Remember, they came to Jesus and said, "Didn't we prophesy in your name? Didn't we cast out demons in your name? And did so many things in your name?" And at the end of the day, Jesus would tell them, "Guess what? I never know you. I don't even know who you are." And so they were doing so many things for God, but they neglected the most important thing, that is to have a relationship with Jesus. I'd rather you sit on the fence and be saved than doing a lot of things and don't even know the Savior. We need to redefine our beliefs. See, as disciples of Jesus, we must know His Word so that we can distinguish false from truth. Especially in our nation today, it is God's Word, the Bible, that tells us what to believe and what we are not to believe. But you see, we were talking yesterday to some church people, and how even the Bible itself has been attacked. Somebody just altering some of the things. I mean, Matthew Smith showed me a new Bible that's out there that they eliminated a whole chapter. Maybe because the chapter says something that they don't like. Somebody said one time, if I only choose what I like in the Bible, I probably only keep the Psalms and the Proverbs. Because the other things, I mean, you're gonna be challenged. You're going to be, I mean, it's like, yeah, oh, I don't like it. The Bible has that verse that talks about this, so let's eliminate it. You can't. You know, because you got to go and eliminate the first Bible that was already printed. But, you know, this is the society we live in today. We reject the Bible. Yes, we, the presidents, we haven't make an oath on top of it, but that's all. I mean, making an oath in the Bible is not going to help you. It's reading it and doing what He says that's really going to help you. As disciples of Jesus, this is the call. We have to know what the Word of God says in order for us to stand for our beliefs, to see what's accurate and what's not. You see, you and I need to understand something. Everybody believes something. Or in someone. Everybody has beliefs. Our beliefs are the foundation. That's how we do things. Our beliefs are govern our action. If you believe that's important to eat healthy, you do it. If you don't care, you eat McDonald's 24/7 and Burger King. You know. But if you believe that, you pattern your life based on your beliefs. Our beliefs govern what we do in this life. So our beliefs, really, whatever they are, they become our foundation. That's what we need to know, what kind of foundation we're building our lives upon. Because if the beliefs that we have, that we profess to have, are the foundation, and then, you know, we need to know what those things are. So everybody believes something. Either because we got it from our society, we were taught by our parents, and you know, whatever they taught, it was passed from one generation to another, just like in the Old Testament. It was like that. And you end up believing certain things because that's what you know. Like I always challenge people, I mean, we celebrate so many holidays in our nation, and some of us had no idea where they originated or where they come from, but we just love to have fun. We're in a nation that we love entertainment. We just love to have fun. If the sermon doesn't make me laugh, it wasn't a good sermon. You know, that type of, you know, it's like we that's how we think today. We want to be entertained. And but we get our beliefs of somebody. Like, what's the origin of that? We don't care about the origin as long as we have candy in Halloween. You know what I mean? It's this is where we are. Now, this man, Gandhi, said this: your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. Your words become your actions. Your actions become your habits. Your habits become your values. And your values become your destiny. Now, what he said makes sense. Your beliefs become your thoughts. Your thoughts become your words. And your words become your action. And eventually those actions are going to be your habit. I mean, because the beliefs, everything that we do is determined by our belief. The belief is like the mechanism that is controlling you. How you get angry at somebody. I mean, you believe. Like when we go on the road, you believe that you're more important than the person ahead of you. You want to go around and you don't care about everybody else because you believe that you are in a hurry and they're not. Even when we speed up and we go around, this is governed by a belief. You're the only one on the road. Or people that sometimes you see them driving, you know, it's based on what they believe. If they don't care, you might not want to be around them when you're driving because you might get into a wreck. Our actions, everything we do is determined, ruled by our beliefs. So in other words, if our beliefs then, they are the foundation for what we do in life. You see, if they are the foundation, this is why we need to know really what we believe. This is why we got to go back to the basic. We got to go back to the Bible. You see, before somebody builds a house, the first thing they lay is what? The foundation. And I always say the foundation is the most important thing of the house. I mean, you can prepare the house from the outside. It looks beautiful. If the foundation is not good, guess what? The house, just wait for a storm. Sandy's going to come and just take it. Because the foundation, I mean, when somebody comes and inspect the house, they got to go back to the foundation. It's like, oh, there's some cracks in that foundation. You better do something about it. The foundation is the most important thing in the house. I mean, you see those buildings. We love to go to the city and see, you know, those tall buildings. They had to dig deep in order for them to project those skyscraper there. The foundation is the most important thing. A foundation, according to the dictionary, is a base upon which something is built or established. Now, think about the definition. It's the base upon which something is built or established. All houses have to have a foundation. Society, companies, countries are built upon a base, a foundation. That's what you hear. The people who established the country, they're called what? The founding fathers. Because they found that particular country based on certain principles, that those principles become foundational principles. Every company, like I said, movement, organization, they all have a foundation. You see, our great nation began with the words, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights." And I mean, those were the foundational words that we have on the document that we know as the Declaration of Independence. Our founding fathers started with that. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Now, it's interesting. When I was just thinking about the irony of that documentation, because it took 16 presidents later to abolish slavery. Now, it says that all men were created equal. The first one, when they started that, so apparently black people were not men. Because it took a while, 16 presidents later on of the same nation, that when the document was written at the beginning, for them to say, oh yeah, they're people too. All men are created equal, but apparently they were not men. Because they had slaves. I mean, think about that for a while. I was just thinking about it, like, wow, how ironic is that? You notice the other part, just that phrase. I mean, he has God in other places, but all men are created. When you look at the document, Creator is capitalized. So from the beginning of our nation, the founding fathers believed in a Creator. Many years, 100 years later, we don't even teach creation in our schools. We don't teach creation. We teach now that mankind, that man evolved, that it's an accident of matter, that man evolution. Now think about, you see why we need to go back to our founding beliefs. We need to go back to the basic, because look, this is how our nation began, and look where we are today. We don't want to teach creation. And even though our document says, and nobody can change that documentation, nobody can change the Declaration of Independence, it says that all men are created equals, that they are endowed by their creator. So there's we have to believe in a creator, and today they don't want the creator anymore. How ironic is that? Our founding, you know, foundational document started like that, and later on people began changing it. And that's what they're doing with Christianity and the Bible. Somebody decided to change it, and we got to go back to the beginning. We got to go back to the original, see what it is. That's what we need to know, what we believe and why we believe it today, in order for us to stand. More than ever, Christian people, you and I, we need to go back to the Bible in order to redefine our beliefs. Our founding fathers believed in a creator. Even Abraham Lincoln said that he would not lead a nation without the Bible. That was our 16th president who said it. And we hold him, you know, in high esteem, but we don't care what he said anymore. Jesus said to the people of his day, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? Why do you keep pretending," in other words, calling yourself follower when you're not following? Luke chapter 6, if you got your Bibles. There were people in Jesus' day following him for the wrong reasons. Finally, Jesus challenged them all and said, "Why do you call me Lord when your life doesn't even reflect me? Why do you call me Lord and you don't do what I say?" Verse 46 through 49, the word of God reads, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and puts them in practice. He is like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid a foundation on rock. A flood came, the torrent struck the house, but could not be shaken, because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them in practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck the house, it collapsed, and its destruction was complete." From the get-go, Jesus gives us a firm foundation. I mean, notice what he said. In order to build on a firm foundation is to do really what Jesus said. If you want to build on a firm foundation, you have to do or put in practice what Jesus commands. I mean, look at what he says. He says, "Why do you call me Lord and don't do what I say? I will show you what that person is like who comes to me, hears my words, and puts them in practice. It's like a man." Luke calls that man the wise man. So it's like a man who dug down deep and laid a foundation on the rock. A solid foundation. See, you and I need to understand a true disciple of Jesus is the one who continues to build his or her life upon that rock. Because how you build that? Jesus said it right here. How you build on a firm foundation? Doing what he says. Not just hearing. I mean, do you catch that in the text right there? He says, anybody who hears what I'm saying and put him in practice, he's the one, Jesus said, that lays the foundation and builds his house upon that foundation. It's not just hearing, it's doing. Put him in practice. Jesus is the foundation that will keep you safe and secure when the storm hits. Now, when you read that text, you notice that all foundations, whatever foundation you have in life, is going to be tested through time. Whatever it is that you decided to build your life upon is going to eventually be tested. Something will happen. Here we have a storm, the flood, the torrent came and struck that house. Something is going to strike it. And it's going to test the certainty. It's going to test how strong the foundation is. It's going to test it to see if it's going to stand or crash. All foundations, it's going to go through the flood, the storm, to see if it's really going to stand. Now, Jesus said right here, Now there's another individual, the one who only hears my word and does not put him in practice. It's like somebody who builds his house on the sand or the ground, or a house without a foundation. And also, you don't have a foundation, you should not be tested. James 1, 22 and 25 says this. James 1, 22 through 25. Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what he says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror, and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law and gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. So James calls the person who only hears that you're really deceiving yourself. To build on a foundation is to do what Jesus calls us to do. That's the only way that you build that foundation. Doing or practicing Jesus' teaching, that's building on a firm foundation. He says it right here. Anybody who comes to me and hears and put in practice what I'm telling them, they're building on a firm foundation. Anybody who only hears, it's like building a house without foundation. What happens to the house without foundation? When the floods came, it destroyed the house. To truly build on a firm foundation, one must put in practice what Jesus did. Now, this is one of the things that we struggle in our society today. See, how many church people have been hearing Jesus' words? I mean, every time we read it by ourselves, every time we go to church, you hear that from a speaker, through the website, you hear that. I mean, we're hearing a lot. Now, the Bible says that faith comes from hearing, but if we're only hearing, listening, we're not going to go anywhere. You're still building without a foundation. Jesus said, you got to hear, but you got to act upon what you hear. It's like, I used to coach baseball in Elgin. I was a baseball coach for 5 years at the varsity, and I had a second baseman. This kid, he knew everything about the game, apparently. Because sometimes I say, you know, when I need you guys to get ready for a double play, that means you got to come in close to the back. And then he would say to me, oh, yeah, I know. So every time you told him something, he knew already. He knew it. And finally I said, don't tell me that you know it. Do it. I said, if you play video games, I said to him, click the button that says double play. You see, when you click that button, the players get closer. That's exactly what I want you to do. So I told him like that. I mean, it's like, don't tell me you know it. How do I know you know it? When you do it. I mean, somebody, oh yeah, he knows. Don't tell me. Jesus said, don't tell me you know me. Don't tell me that I'm your Lord. I want to see it. Put in practice, and then that's how you build that firm foundation. But that's a lot of times we hear. Daily, we hear the word of God. Or weekly when you go to church. Statistically, it's been proven that a lot of people are not reading the Bible anyways. Maybe when the preacher says, let's read now, and then you read it. But you're hearing it. So what are you doing with what you hear? Because, you know, if we don't feel that we're not growing in Christ, maybe because we're only hearers, we're not doers. We got to go back into doing what he says, because Jesus Christ himself said that that's how you and I build on a firm foundation. Otherwise, James says we're deceiving ourselves, just hearing. I mean, are you getting what I'm saying? Okay. So Jesus said that's how you and I build on a firm, just doing, putting in practice what he says. You see, that's why Jesus challenged the people. Why do you call me Lord? Lord. And I think he's challenging church people today. Why do you call me Lord? Lord. And don't do what I'm telling you. All you're listening, all you're doing is hearing and nothing. I want to see action. And you see, when you think about every other verb in the Bible, loving, having faith. I mean, you can tell somebody that you love them, but they're not going to know until you actually show that person. I mean, love is to be shown. Faith is to be shown. All those things. So don't tell me that you love me. Show me. Don't tell me you have faith. Show it. I mean, that's why James says faith without works, without action, is dead. Jesus said, don't tell me that I'm your Lord. I want to see it. How? Doing what I'm telling you to do. See, everyone will have storms in this life. Perhaps you're already going through one today. We're going to have issues. We're going to have, it's like DJ reminded us, we come here because we are in a hospital. None of us got our act together. Me as a preacher needs prayer. Hey, I'm going to have issues and struggles in life. And that's why I need Jesus. That's why you also are going to need Jesus to be the strong foundation of your life. Because if I lay my life upon something else, it's going to crack. It's going to fail. Only Jesus remains the true foundation upon which you and I ought to build our lives. You see, when the struggles that you have are winning over you, if you feel that they're really drowning you, then it's time for you to check out what foundation you have at that moment. In the struggles, I feel like you cannot even, because Jesus even said that he was going to give us this peace that the world does not understand. When you feel overwhelmed by the struggles, you got to check out the foundation you have. Because the foundation that Jesus gives right there in the story, the house was beat, was struck, and it did not fall. If you're feeling that you're already giving up and you're failing and you're falling, then my advice to you is check out what foundation you have at that moment. Because if it is Jesus, he says that it will not crack. It will not fail you. Even when it hurts. Even when at times you don't know how you're going to come out of that situation, it will remain steadfast through the storm. That's why you got people singing, "I praise you in the storm," casting crowns. Because, it's like, through you I will stand. The storm, whether you are Christian or not, you all going to have storms. You all going to have problems. Jesus said it. He said to the disciples in the gospel, in this world you're going to have trouble. But then he says something else. He says, but take heart, I have overcome the world. So you need a foundation that have overcome the world. You need a foundation that will not crack, that will remain steadfast through the time, through the storms. And that's only Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. He still remains the foundation, the firm foundation for life. You see, what is it that you're building your life upon? Look at our society. We can build our lives upon money. Money can disappear tomorrow. You saw how the whole system cracked after 8 years, 7 years after 9/11. And we still try to recuperate. And you think, all I need is money. Eventually, you're going to run out of money. If you build your foundation upon entertainment, that also is not going to last forever. So whenever people don't entertain you, you're going to be mad and start killing people. You can build your foundation upon your spouse, maybe your job, the government. You expect those things to really be the thing that you're going to shape your life around. I got news for you. All those things are going to fail you. Even your own family can fail you tomorrow. The church is not the foundation. The church needs to build a foundation on Christ. So a lot of people build their lives upon a particular church. No, I belong to this church. This is mine. And everything about them is that church. What happens when that church disappears? They're gone. Don't build your life upon a church. Don't build your life upon a movement. I've seen people, I was born in this ex-religion, so I am that. And so when that ex-religion disappears, then you don't know how to act. If that's your foundation, that's going to crack eventually. Everything we have, my friends, everything we have in this world is not forever. It will crack down when it's tested by certain things in this life. That's what we need to know, what we're building our lives upon. If you build your life, like there was a song that says, "I will make you my world." If your spouse is your world, I got bad news for you. He's going to fail you tomorrow. He and she is not perfect. They got issues too. Now, you pray that your spouse be built upon Jesus, because that's better. Because he or she is built on Jesus, then you have a nice match in here. See, we need to build our foundations, our lives upon Jesus Christ. My parenting skills need to be built upon Jesus Christ. I got to do things the way Jesus wants me to do things. I got to love people the way Jesus wants me to love people. I got to show compassion to people, to the world, the way Jesus... If he's my foundation, I got to show the world him through me. I got to love my wife the way Jesus wants me to love her. My parenting, my marriage, my relationships had to have a foundation that's called Christ. Because if you have something else there, news for you, watch it. When you test it, it's going to crack. It's going to fail. It's going to collapse. If you build your house, your life, just based on that thing. Even religion, you build your life based on religion, you're also going to fail. Jesus doesn't want you to be religious. He wants to have a relationship with you. Lifestyle. This is what he calls you and I to do. Not to be religious, because that's going to fail too. Jesus said that everything will pass away one day. But my word, you see, if his word doesn't pass away, so therefore I need to build my life upon his word. His word, he said, will never pass away. And Angie read that text when he told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and even the gates of hell will not overcome it. I want to build my foundation on something that's eternal and not temporal. Because we're all going to pass from this world eventually. The question is how? None of us is eternal. But we believe in one that is, and he will take us there. For Jesus to be your firm foundation, you have to put in practice what he says. As simple as that. If you're not putting in practice what he says, then Jesus is not the foundation you have. It might be something else. It might be the worship service. It might be religion in the church. It might be just the songs. You know, people go to church sometimes just for the songs or the music. And we live in a society that we choose churches just like we choose grocery stores. You know, like, if it's for my need. You know, it's for me. If they sing those songs for me, then I go. And it's so sad that we have adopted that consumerism mentality. You know, somebody said, ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. I mean, think about, ask not what your church can do for you, but join the church and do something for it. We need to build our lives upon Jesus Christ, the rock that the wind cannot erode. Somebody wrote a song, I don't remember the name of that lady, but it's like in the 80s, and she said, why do we worry about tomorrow? That's the quote she had. Why do we give in to the wind? Why do we let our circumstances guide our hearts when Jesus simply says, trust in me? And then she said, in the eye of the hurricane, in the center of the storm, in the chaos, there is comfort, a harbor, safe and warm. Though the wind can blow, the storm can come. And then she said, I know that I'm holding on to the rock that the wind cannot erode. I'm hoping you're holding on to that rock too. Because right now, after you leave this place, storms will come to test what kind of foundation you have in life. And if you're running around like a chicken without a head, then you need to check out what foundation you are. Because Jesus said you're going to be at peace when the world is falling out around you. You will have this peace that the world cannot understand. And you'll be strong in the midst of the storm when Jesus Christ is the foundation. You and I need to build our life upon that rock. Our marriages, our finances, our parenting skills, our jobs, our businesses. I love what Marty Wilson says every time you ask him about his business. He says, it's God's business. He will tell you. So it's not mine, it's God's. It's like, I want that. It's God's kids. God's, I mean, everything that we have is being given to us by him. And he can take it anytime he wants. I just want to build my life upon the rock so that I can withstand the storm. I want to conclude with this Psalm 62, verse 1 through 2, because David had it. David, the greatest king of Israel, at one time in his life, you know, he committed adultery, he killed somebody. He didn't have his life all together, but he knew that he trusted in Yahweh, in God. And at one time in his life, he became a fugitive because King Saul was looking for him to kill him. And David had the opportunity to kill Saul in a cave, and he didn't do it because he had this fear for the Lord. In Psalm 62, the words of the king, King David said these words. Let me get it here for you. 62, and I want to pick it up in verse 1. It said, my soul finds rest in God alone. You know, sometimes when our souls are restless, he said, and when he wrote those things, he was going, running away from the mad king, from Saul. He said, my soul finds rest in God alone. He said, and then my salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock, my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. I'm praying that that's your prayer, that He alone is your rock, that Jesus Christ is the rock. Peter challenged a whole bunch of religious leaders. In Acts 4:11, Peter said to them, Jesus Christ, whom you crucified, God raised them from the dead. He is the stone, he said, Peter said to them, He is the stone you builders rejected. You were supposed to build this kingdom of God based on the cornerstone, and you rejected Him. Jesus is the stone you builders rejected, which has become the cornerstone. And then Peter goes on and he says, salvation is found in no one else, because there's no other name given to men by whom we must be saved. He said that was Jesus Christ. The firm foundation we sang about today, the cornerstone upon which I want to build my life, my money, my family, everything about me, I want to build it upon Him, because he knows better than I do. And I need His guidance to be able to navigate through the struggles and issues that this world's going to throw at me. Only He's going to keep me safe. Only He's going to keep me standing when everybody else around me is falling. And I can say like David, my soul finds rest in God alone. You are my salvation. You are my rock. I love that. My fortress, and I will never be shaken. Christians, when you really build on a firm foundation, nothing, no one is going to shake you. Because when Jesus is the rock, I mean, you are secure. And no one is going to come and disrupt that. The praise team is going to come. And we're going to sing that song of invitation. And I believe after the song, then we do the baby's dedication. You see, we're going to be dedicating a baby today to the Lord. And it's a beautiful thing to see in church, in Christian churches, because that's what we're really saying is, we want that child to have a nice foundation. We want that child to have a firm foundation. It's going to be up to the parents to guide that child so they tomorrow get to know the Lord. That's how it was in the Old Testament. When God told the Israelites, you got to teach it to the children so that they teach it to their children tomorrow and carry that foundation from one place to another.